Okay. All right. Well, Shalom Aleichem, everyone. Good to see you all. And the purpose of today's session is to get an understanding of the basics of Tumas Kohanim. What are the main issues that we have to be aware of that a Kohen should know or that we should know for Kohanim? And then how do we apply that to hospitals? And what would it take specifically to create a hospital that's like, would be considered a kosher hospital for Kohanim? And all the chumras and everything. And this is obviously, we're not intending here to get every single detail that that there is, because it's extremely complicated and there's a lot to know. But the goal here is to go from literally for someone who, if they know very little about the topic, to start from there and then try to go in as deeply as possible to the topic specifically concerned with the issue of Kohanim in hospitals. I created a list and an outline that I've been updating throughout the week, actually, on specifically what the hospital would need to do to be as kosher as possible for Kohanim. So we'll start from the basics. I'm going to try to show everything that I say inside, or at least show you the sources, even if we don't read every single one, just because then it would take us a very long time. And I see some of you doing it. Just give me your email if you want me to share with you the source sheet. More than happy to. So let's start. So we see that, you know, we have in Parshas Emor, in Vayikra, we had Vayomer Hashem al Moshe Emor al Kohanim b'nei Aaron. Hashem says to Moshe, to the children of Aaron, v'amarta lehem, say to them, l'nefesh lo yitama be'amav. You cannot become defiled for the dead of anyone. And then it comes actually to this week's Parsha. So what does that mean? In what ways do we have to avoid tumah, to have to avoid impurity from the dead? So one of them is Maga. That's in this week's Parsha, Chukas. This week's Parsha, at least in America and in Chutz La'aretz, Hanogeya b'meis l'chol nefesh adam v'tamei shivas yamim. If you touch, if a kohen would touch a corpse directly with any part of their body, they become tamei. And it's actually, there's a lot of different types of touching. I mean, the Rambam, when he writes in Hilchos Tumas Meis, Perek Aleph, right in the very beginning, he says, Tumas Maga. He says, Hu shenaga adam b'vsaro b'tuma atzma. So if someone touches with their body the corpse, or other parts of other things that cause tumah that we'll talk about. Bein biyado, bein biraglo, bein bisaro, bein bishar bisro. Whether they touch with their legs, with their hands, any place with their body, it could be with their knee, right? The filu b'lashono, even with their tongue. Harese nitma v'chein nirali she'im naga b'tziporav. And even if it would just be with their fingernails, or bishino with their teeth, nitma kevichem mechubarim laguf hare heim kaguf. That is considered to be like part of the body. And so if a Kohen would touch a corpse with any part of their body, even their fingernails or their teeth, that would make them tummy. So that's number one, touching a body. And this is whether the body is Jewish, not Jewish, doesn't matter, cannot touch a mace. Also, there's tumas masa. This is the second type. This is where you transfer tuma through carrying the body. So even if you're not touching directly with your flesh, If the Kohen cannot carry a mace in any way, so that's what it says, Shenemar v'anosias nivlasam hamace. So they can't carry them, and the Rambam explains, Hu sheyisa adam atuma afal pishlo nagaba. Even if the Kohen's not touching the body, if they're carrying the body, that is part of the tuma. Afilu haya beino the vein na even ho'il v'nasa nitma. Because the Kohen is carrying it in any way, that renders them Tameh ve'echad anose al rosho, al yado, al sharb gufa. They're carrying on their shoulders, their head, their hands, whatever it is. Ve'echad anose hu ba'atzmo, or she nasa acher v'anicha l'malam izeh, huel v'nasa alav mikomakom nitma v'afilu ha'isa atuma, teluya bechut or besaro. Even if they're carrying it through a string, any type of carrying a body makes the Kohen Tameh, and that's again, whether it's Jewish or not Jewish, but now, and so those are the first two. Again, we have, just to summarize, we have tumas maga, touching a body, tumas masa, carrying a body, and now we come to especially what's the biggest concern in the most complicated area and what's relevant in hospitals, which is tumas ohel. Tumas ohel is being in the same covered area of a corpse, and by the way, this is not just regarding a corpse, and we will talk about it more, but this is talking about here, this could be a fetus past 40 days of conception, a kazayas from a corpse, or a limb with flesh and bone, you know, parts. So this is now, we're talking about not just a dead body, but also pathology labs and things like that, or anything with even more than a fourth of a kav of a bone. This is tumas ohel. And tumas ohel, tumor ritsu, which we'll talk about in a second, tumas ohel comes also from this week's parsha, zos, some parshas chukas, zos ha-torah adam ki yamus ba-ohel, kol ha-ba el ha-ohel v'chol asher ba-ohel yitma shivas yamim. Anything that comes within the tent, within the overhang, in the tented area as a dead body. So it's not just now that we talked about touching the corpse or carrying the corpse, but now it's even being in the same airspace, under the same ceiling, the tent of a corpse. This also renders a Kohen Tameh, and this becomes very complicated, very relevant. The Rambam describes it as follows. Before we'll start talking about it in a second, but let me just show you some of the sources. Rambam writes also in Hilchos Tumas Meis Perek Aleph Nehalacha Yud, Tumas Ohel, Eino Bishar Tumos Ela B'Meis Belvad. Tumas Ohel is just with a Meis Belvad. So now this is just regarding a body, but we're going to talk about how this is more than just the corpse. And then when we talk about ohel, it's echad ba kulo lo ohel, whether they're totally in the ohel ames, or haba miksaso, or if just part of their body goes into the room, under the overhang, under the tent. Hareze nitma ba ohel afilo hichnis yado or rosh etzbosav. What if you just put your feet or your fingertips into the room? That still makes them tame. Or chotmo ohel hameis hareze nitma kulo, that makes them entirely tame. And he goes on to explain the Rambam, but now in Perek Yud Beis of Tumas Meis, he says, and this is going to be very important what he says here, tefach al tefach mruba al rum tefach mevi esatuma. When there is a space that's tefach al tefach, tefach is a hand, like a fist. So just a couple of inches, a few inches, right? So a space that's a few inches by a few inches, that's enough to spread the tumah. That tumah can pass through that space. Tefach atefach ruba al rum tefach mevi as a tumah vechotzis mipnei atumah, and it can also block the tumah din Torah by the Torah law. Ein kari ohel el tefach atefach rum tefach or yosa alze. An ohel is only once it has a space of a tefach al tefach, a fist by a fist, a few inches, let's say about 3 inches by 3 inches. This is going to become very relevant. We're going to talk about this in a minute for some very interesting solutions that some have come up with. And the Rambam says, "Kishem she'ohel mitame kol she'tachtav, matzel kol she'chutzalo, v'chotzeis bein hatuma u'bein kelim she'al gabav." So just like an ohel can make something tame that's under the ohel, once you have an ohel and the mace is surrounded by that ohel, it then blocks the tumah from going further. And if you have a complete ohel, like let's say a room, the body is in a room and the doors are closed, so the ohel also blocks the tumah from going further. So ohel is not just a roof we see here, but it's any covered area that's a square tefach and has an airspace of a tefach. So a tefach of space above the body, even if there's no walls, but this could be such as a beam or a thick branch of a tree, the tumah will spread under the entire areas. And now we know that tumah also spreads immediately and indefinitely. So it can be blocked, but without being blocked, it spreads immediately. Like, I heard Rav Asher Weiss give me a share on this. He said it's not even the speed of sound. It's not even the speed of light. It's even faster than that. It spreads instantaneously, but it can be blocked. So this, now we come to one of the most important sources in this regard, in this topic, which is the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch writes, and now we are when the Shulchan Aruch discusses these issues in Yoredeya, in Simen Shin Ayin Aleph. This is in the Halachos of Avelos, and the Shulchan Aruch says a lot of things here. So this will be important. We're going to start analyzing this and start slowing down in a second to discuss these issues and what this might mean for creating a hospital or a hospital space that's kosher for a Kohen. So the Shulchan Aruch writes as follows. Asur l'kohen l'kanes tachas ohel shames tachtav. A Kohen may not enter into a space that is covered and a dead body, a corpse under that same space. A filu hu gadol harbe, even if it's huge. Let's say it was, I don't know, the Staples Center, or actually we're in LA here, it's not even Staples, it's called the Crypto.com arena or something now, whatever. You're in a huge arena, right? Imagine you could fit 30,000 people, but there's a dead body in there and the Kohen's in there. That is now an ohel ames, right? That's one big space The Kohen cannot be in that space with the dead body once there's a roof and it's an enclosed area. Even if there's doors opening, I mean, once they're under the same roof, that's an ohel. And even if it's Gadol Harbe, the Kohen cannot be in that room. Afilu lebayis acher or la'liel acheres ha'pesuchim le'oso bayis b'nekev sheyesh b'techa al-techa. Now let's say we continue with my example. Let's just say we're going with this arena. It's a huge arena. So now you have on the basketball court or whatever, let's say there's a dead body down there. And the whole arena is, the whole space is tame for the Kohen. Now let's say you would go outside the arena to like the area where they sell like the, you know, when you walk out of the seats and you're in the area where the restrooms are and the concession stands and all that, but it's open. There's open doors, open spaces to the arena. So the tuma spreads because it's all under one roof. So the tuma continues to spread. As long as there's an opening, that's at least a tefach al tefach. One square tefach. Remember, that's a hand breadth. So theoretically, let's say now you're outside of the room where the Kohen is. If all the doors would be closed and there was no vents, okay, so you're fine because the door is closed. The tumah can't spread unless it has some kind of opening bigger than a tefach or bigger. But it would spread ad olam, forever. But what if there was just, the doors are closed, but there's just a vent, like an air vent. This is common. This is a common issue, actually, that people aren't aware of. The air conditioning vents. Let's say there was some kind of an air vent between the room where the dead body is and the Kohen is in the next room over, or even multiple rooms away, but it's all connected. So usually those air vents are much more than a tefach, right? They're big. They're usually like a few feet wide, or at least a feet or two, a yard or so, right? If you can imagine that these metal things that carry the air. So if it's bigger than a tefach, then it will transmit the tuma, right? So he says ve'im sasam anekev, but if the opening would be closed, mutilo dikanes lebais acher shastima chotzesas, then the Kohen could go into the adjacent room, because the connection has been closed. Afilo batzulios sham olamis. Even if it's not a permanent closure, right? You just put up something to block the space. It doesn't have to be permanent. That's why a door works, as an example. Doors open and close. You can put anything there. But vahanimili, but this closing between the space, shasasam kolan nekev, has to be that you close the entire thing. But what if you only closed part of the space between the room where the corpse is and where the Kohen is? But it's less than a tefach, meaning there's an opening now between the room where the Kohen is and the room where the Kohen is, but now it's only an inch, let's say. It's a half an inch, right? It's tiny. So in that case, But if you didn't close the whole thing, but you only closed a little bit of it, then in this case, since it's not a permanent closure, it's not a complete closure, it has to be permanent. Sorry, I didn't say that right. Since it's not a complete closure, it has to be a permanent enclosure. It can allow an inch or two, right? It can have an opening, but it has to be permanent. Mimait v'chotzeis bifnei atuma shelo ta'avor. Then it can be a chatzitza. Then it can be a block from the tuma, from the impurity, from transferring from that kohen to that kohen from the dead body. V'im lav, enim emait. But if it's not permanent, if it allows an inch or two, any space, it's not going to stop it. So if it's an impermanent closure, it has to close the whole thing. If it's a permanent closure, it can allow a little bit of an opening as long as it's smaller than a tefach al tefach, a space for a handbreadth. The Ramah then adds, the Ramah now comes along and says, v'chol davar mekabel tuma, eino chotzeis bifnei atuma. But if it's an object that accepts tuma, like metal. Usually we're talking about metal here. Metals can become impure, so then that cannot block the tuma. That's why it's relevant. And I said intentionally, I used the example of the air conditioning thing that is sometimes the vents can be between the rooms, and that can often be what transfers the tuma. The blockage inside that space will have to be something that's not metal to block the tuma. right? Velo mikre stima bechalon. It does not. It's not considered blocking with the window. El imken yachol amod below smicha, unless it can with it's strong enough to stand without any kind of support. So we see that the tumah can spread, but it can't be blocked. The source for this, just by the way, we're not going to read it inside because just to save time, because as you see, this is an 8-page source sheet, and we're only on page 2 right now, and we're not going to go through every single source. But the source is a Mishnah Maseches Ohalos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Zion. That's the source. We see also that an overhang, if the overhang is longer than a tefach, it will spread the tumah from an open door or a window. And we see that blocking the spread is done either by completely sealing any openings or reducing them to smaller than a tefach, as long as they're sturdy enough to withstand basically a regular wind without additional support. That's what we usually go by. And double doors can help by opening one at a time to get something to a kohen. That's oftentimes an option. But there's one other issue. We're not done yet. There's one more problem. This is all talking about an ohel, the concern of an ohel. The kohen cannot be in the same roof, and even if it's being spread from an overhang or to another room in the same building. But in addition to that, we have another concern, which is called sof tumah latzeis. Sof tumah latzeis means any passageway through which a corpse will be going, will be removed, even if the kohen, any through which the corpse will be removed, even if the corpse is not currently in that space, that whole area is tameh. So let's just now go to the hospital example. The kohen is in a room. The kohen was a, I keep saying kohen. The corpse was in a room. The patient was alive. The patient dies in their room. But we know that there's a certain elevator that the corpse will be taken to when it's taken then to the morgue. Now the whole floor, the whole hallway to which connects that room where the corpse is now to the elevator, it's all now as if the corpse is there in that whole space. So that whole space is now tameh, at like an ohel. And then if that's under a roof, the whole area that's connected to that space is going to become tameh. So anytime you have a kohen in a building where there's a corpse with someone who has died, it's not just a concern about the actual ohel. It's a concern about any place where that corpse is going to go. That whole space is an ohel. That because it's the concern of sof tumah latzeis, because we assume it will be brought there very soon. Now, this might only apply to a Jewish corpse, as we'll discuss, and also it might not apply if we don't think the corpse is going to be brought anywhere. So, for example, if it's Shabbos and we know the corpse is in the morgue and we know that the mortuary is not going to come until after Shabbos, we might not apply sof tumah latzeis. Also, if it's a pathology lab, and let's say it's just something like a skeleton or something like that, where they just keep it there for research purposes or something, but it's never taken out, we might not have an issue of sof tumah latzeis when we don't think there's going to be going anywhere. This is based on a Mishnah in Ohalos, also Perek Zayin Mishnah Gimel, like before. The Mishnah says, the Mishnah uses the phrase, Chashav lehotziu be'echad mehen. We should read the whole Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hameis bevayis, if there's a corpse in the house, Ubo psachin harbe, and there's many doors out of the house, Kulan tameim, they all are considered unclean, tameh. But niftach echad mehen, but if one of them is opened, hu tameh, then that one door, because we know that's the door that we're going to be using, then outside of that door is tameh, but the rest of them are not, because those doors are closed. But even if, what if it was just chashav lehotziyah be'echad mehen? What if you just, the doors are closed, but you know which one you're going to be using eventually to take the corpse out that door? Or bechalon, or even if it's a window, let's say, and that's actually relevant. I can tell you a little bit about some of the hospitals in Israel in a minute, why a window is relevant. Shehu arba tefachim, as long as it's, now this is at 4 tefachim large, a little bit bigger, hitzil kol psachim. That saves other psachim, because the point is, just knowing that we are going to be exiting from one of the doors, that now makes that exit way all considered to be tameh and tumas ohel, and we have to consider that's a kohen cannot go under that area. The lumdus of this, by the way, the thinking of this is that there's a great Rabbeinu Chananel. There's a lot to say about this, but the basic, the easiest way to understand it is that the Rabbeinu Chananel says here, she says, she'en lecha pesach she'eno asui lavo latzeis. Always doors are meant to be, you know, for people to go in or out. V'kayim alan she'kol pesach ha'omid lehipateach kepatuach dami. any door that's going to be open is like it's open now. So just because we close the doors where the corpse is, and therefore we protect any other the Kohen from being in the Ohel HaMeis, under the same roof of that body, since we know we're going to open the door, it's now as if the door is open. So it's still a problem. Now, if a Kohen is in another room, and they close the door to their room, we don't expect that the corpse is going to be brought into another the patient's room, right? So that could protect them. They have to keep the door closed at all times when the body's there. This, by the way, also, and we're going to talk about some leniencies in a minute, but I'm going to stop in a second just to hear, discussion for a second. And then also I'll summarize, and then we're going to get into the specifics of hospitals and what are the leniencies and what are the rules and how would you make it totally kosher for Kohanim hospitals and what do they do in Israel. But this, the Ovadia Martinura says in this Mishnah, Gazru Chachamim. He uses the phrase that this is a rabbinic enactment. The whole issue of the sof tum latzeis, the concern that we have to treat any area where the corpse might end up as if it's already there, that's a rabbinic enactment. Now, not everyone agrees with that. Tosos Yom Tov on that Mishnah says it's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, but most assume that that's actually rabbinic, even though most of what we've been talking about are Torah prohibitions. The sof tum latzeis is maybe a lower level prohibition. And by the way, it's only sof tum latzeit. It's only that the tumah is going to exit. It's not about where tumah, the impurity is going to go. So it's not sof tumah likhanes. So if a corpse is currently not in the building remains taller until it's actually brought in, right? And that's what's brought up in this mission. It says ziz. If we have this is also the issue. It's just important to read this mission because it's also an overhang of a building, which is what comes up a lot in hospitals when you have overhangs. Ziz shehu soviv et kol habayis. When you have an overhang surrounding an entire house, the ocha bepetach shelosh etzbos, and you have some kind of its space is spreading three finger breaths of habayis kelim shetachtav tmeim. Any kli that's underneath that overhang is also becomes tameh, becomes impure. Tuma tachtav, if the and then underneath it, Rabbi Lezer mitameh es habayis, Rabbi Yeshua mitahir. Rabbi Yeshua says it's clean again because it's not yet there. So that's sof tuma likhanes. That's not an issue. One or two more things, and then I want to start. Actually, you know what? Let's stop there and start. Let me just do a quick summary, and then let me pause for a minute to hear if there's any questions or comments, and then we're going to start to get very specific into hospitals and like the real specific questions. So some of your questions I might not answer yet, but just because we're going to get there, but I still want to see where you're holding. But let me just do a quick 30-second summary of everything we've seen so far. What we said so far is that, first of all, we have the concept in the Torah, both in this week's Parsha of Chukas and in Emor, that a Kohen cannot become in contact with the dead. Now, when we said a Kohen can come in contact with the dead, we're basically saying there's three types of contact. Number one is what we called maga. A Kohen cannot touch a corpse, a body. Then we also said there's masa. A Kohen cannot lift the body. That means even if they're not coming in contact, right? Contact, we said, means any part of their body, right? Their fingers, their hair, their teeth. They cannot touch the body in any way. They cannot lift the body. That's not even coming in contact. They just can't be the one lifting the body in whatever way. They can't lift it. Then we said there's the third thing is tumas ohel. The Kohen cannot be in the same space underneath the same roof. And the space spreads immediately and for as long as the roof spreads. And that could be even if they're in a different room, they can't be under the same roof because it spreads. But it can be blocked. The tumah can be blocked. It spreads as long as it has a space more than a tefach, a square tefach. A tefach is about 3 inches or so. There's different opinions, but it's about a hand breadth, right? If there's that much space, the tumah can spread. But if you block it, somehow you can have doors closed. If there's smaller spaces, you have to block them, either permanent blocks that can allow small openings, as long as they're smaller than a tefach, or even temporary blockings, but if it's temporary, it has to be complete blocking. But that block cannot be something that's makabel tumah, so it cannot be metal. But then, so that's the basics. That's the basics. But then we said there's one more issue, which is the issue of sof tumalatzes, which is that if there even a space where the corpse is not currently, but it's planning to go, then that whole space is as if the body is there now. Even though there's a door, we consider the door open if they're planning on removing the body in that direction. I'm curious if there's any comments or questions at this point. We're going to start getting more specific now, so you can hold anything about hospitals till that. But anything that I didn't explain clearly, or anything that you're wondering about right now, or... Hi.
Okay, this is dope.
Yes.
Jews, non-Jews.
Oh, we're going to get there. We're getting there right in just a second.
Okay, so I'll
but assume what we've said right now applies to Jews and not applies. The body could be Jewish or not Jewish, but we are going to talk about some exceptions, possible exceptions. But let's assume it doesn't matter for now.
Right, and ohel. Ohel can be any overhang, a growth, tree.
If it's thick, yeah. If it's thick, yeah. And I see. By the way, just to be clear, I'm just now reading some of the other questions. The sof tumalatzes, because the concern is that it's the body is going to be taken out. If you could have, there some poskim do allow in certain situations where you know you're not taking out the body. Like let's say if you know the body's not going to be picked up until Motzei Shabbat, and it's currently Shabbat. There's lesser concern of sof tumalatzes on Shabbat because we know it's not moving anywhere. So that's why sometimes there's a leniency on Shabbos. And not everyone agrees with that, even. I'm just bringing that up as that's one sort of, we sometimes call it a sniff, because we're going to talk about now in a minute, all the possible angles for leniencies that sometimes you have to rely on, because sometimes the Kohen has to be in a hospital, right? So you have to sometimes have certain things you can rely on. These sometimes help. And someone asked also, can a Kohen be a coroner or a forensic pathologist? Definitely not. I mean, if they want to observe these laws, it's going to be basically impossible to be in a job where you're constantly dealing with dead bodies. But we'll talk about some exceptions to that in a second. Also, funerals, usually they have a Kohen standing outside or something. Also, now since COVID, it kind of helped that we oftentimes broadcast funerals on Zoom as well, and the Kohen can watch that way. Or if something's for Kohen's family, they'll intentionally put the Kohanim at the edge of the funeral at the cemetery, so that the Kohanim family members can still go there and stand at the edge and make sure there's no trees overhang, you know, and they can still have an area where the Kohen can go. So that's oftentimes the solution. Yeah, other comments.
No, yeah, they said Derech Kohanim in some cemeteries in Israel, you know, where to make sure about that. But also,
yeah.
I don't know if you're going to touch on whether or not a Kohen and whoever holds what can go into the cemetery itself, as long as the road, as long as he's Dalet Amos away from anything.
Yeah, exactly. They have to stay Dalet Amos away. Once they're outdoors, it's much easier because they're not under the same roof. So as long as they're Dalet Amos, right? Let's say whatever, 7 feet away.
Tree, right?
There's no covering, then they're good. Yeah. We're not going to go into that so much because we're going to focus now on hospitals, but I want to hear any other comments. I think Rabbi Finkelstein had a comment. No? Okay.
Just a point of clarification.
Please.
So anytime a corpse is in a room, it's eventual that the corpse is going to be leaving that room.
Yes.
Right. So that's always, so it's really, you're saying that the room, at least the room that's adjacent to the room with the corpse is always going to be a problem. So late.
Right. Well, any area outside that room is a problem. But the next room over, it's possible that by closing their door, because they're not the corpse is not going to go to the room next door, right? You don't bring a corpse out of a hospital room and bring it to another patient's room, right? You bring it down. You bring it down to the morgue. So it's that space. So if the Kohen's in the room next door. And this could happen. This does happen, right? The Kohen's in the room and they hear, oh no, someone just died on the same floor that I'm now visiting a patient on, or I'm the patient on, and actually this is a perfect transition to where we're going to go right now, then they can close the door to their room. They just have to know that whole space outside, even if the door is closed, where the body currently is, that whole space is now tame of sof tumalatzes because we know that the corpse is going that way. So now let's get into the specifics, and then unless I misunderstood your question. All right.
No, No, I got it. So the common area would be much bigger problem than in another hospital room.
Yeah, the common area, exactly. The other hospital room could potentially be protected by its door. There is another issue of the vents, right? That is an issue. And in some Israeli hospitals deal with those. I don't know of any American hospitals that actually have blockages in their vents to prevent the tumor from spreading. But still, the vents could be smaller. And also, you could close the vents in your room. I mean, that could help. And there's different types of vents. You know, the vents that go into your room, they could have a big filter on them and things like that. Like, theoretically, there could be things that protect the air vents. But yeah, so this leads us specifically into the, now let's get into some of these specifics, some of these issues. So first we have, what if the Kohen's in the building, right? This exact question, the Kohen's in the building, what do they do? So the Ramah says as follows. He says, Kohen sheshochev arum. What if the Kohen is sleeping naked? Why is that relevant? I mean, this is a relevant point because let's give an extreme example, right? It's one thing if the Kohen is in the lobby and just hanging out there and you can say, oh, leave. But what if the Kohen can't leave so easily because the Kohen is naked, right? So, v'hu be'ohel im hames v'lo yada, and they're sleeping or they just are unaware that they are now in a place where they can't be, but they're asleep. And the concern is, ein lahagidlo, don't wait, tell them, because if you wake them up, they're going to run and have to leave naked. Right? And that's embarrassing for them. And this is the whole issue of kavod abrios, that we want to respect people's dignity. And this is where we start talking about weighing values, right? What's more important? For the person to be embarrassed, horrifically embarrassed, or for them to become tameh from the mace? And now the Ramah seems to imply that it's more important that they don't get embarrassed, right? By running out of the building naked, that's better for them to become impure, right? But you still want them to leave. So he says, "In lahagidlo, don't tell them, ela yikra'u lo stam." But you should wake them up and say, okay, you know, time to wake up. And then you say, okay, time to get dressed, time to go. Then when they get dressed, then you tell them, right? But if you already told them, then they're supposed to go right away. But this is only if they are in the same tent, the same cover, where the body is. Shutumat de'araisa. Because that, being in the same room, or under the same roof of the corpse, is a Torah prohibition. That's the highest level prohibition. Of imhu be'sa pras, or be'eretz amim. But if they are, be'sa pras, that was talking about it like a cemetery where the bones are all kind of dug up and kind of mixed and you don't know where they are. There's a little bit of a suffix there, right? Or eretz amim, or in areas where, in a non-Jewish area, which we're not going to bring us to another conversation, shutuma de'rabbanan, which is rabbinically prohibited, yalbish ash matchila, then they should get dressed first, de'gadol kavod habrios, because kavod abrios is so important. Now, by the way, another relevant issue for hospitals is, and I get this question a lot, I'm sure all of you do, right? This comes up a lot in hospitals, because it's one thing for a Kohen to want to go visit the sick, as we're going to discuss. It's one thing in the for them to go visit their friend or their parent or whatever. But what if the person's dying such that they will soon be dead, likely, not for sure, but likely, but they're not currently right now. They are a goses. So the Shulchan Aruch says here, Mishin Nishbro Mefarto, what if someone broke their neck or rove basar ima? Or much around it. V'chein misha nikra megavo kedag, or someone, you know, their back was all torn up. Afilo adayin hu chai, but they're still alive. Chashiv kames. Someone who's injured so horribly, they broke their neck, they're considered like they're died in metame. And now that we assume that they're dead. Aval goses, but if someone is not currently dead, but they're in the dying process, misha nishchato bo besimanim, or they had cut, right, in two of their organs, or two of their vital organs were cut, or patsua pitzaim harve, or just they have many openings, they're just bleeding out, right? Eina mitamim, they are not mitame, they are not considered dead, they're alive. Achitetsa nafsham, until their soul leaves. Umikol makom, nevertheless, even though a ghost is, a ghost is considered 100% alive, just even though they're dying, but they're still alive. A Kohen cannot go into a room where there is someone who is dying, right? Because we assume that they are going to die soon, and the Rama adds there, v'tov l'hachmer. We should be extra strict about this because they're dying. Sometimes I one of the questions I get a lot is a Kohen will say, you know, my father, God forbid, my father is dying, my friend is dying, I want to go say goodbye. The doctors say there are goseis, but that they think they have a few hours. Can you check in on it for me and give me an impression? What are the doctors saying? Do they have a few hours? If so, I could run in now, quickly say I love you, and then leave right away. That's the issue that comes up, and this is a big problem. The Rama says tov l'hachmer. It's all case by case. Now there was
if it's a father though, could you be Matame anyway?
Yeah, exactly. That's why I started to change. I started to say it, and then I changed myself, because it's a Zion Krovim. If they're relative, it might be that there's more room. Definitely, and we're going to actually go into that in a minute. And yes, exactly. Rov gosasim lemisa. We assume rov cholim, we say lechaim. Most sick people will live, and that helps to go visit the sick. But when it comes to a goses, we assume they usually are going to die. What about non-Jews? Meaning, let's say either your person you're going to visit is not Jewish, or you're in America, you're in a place, you're not in Israel, and many of the patients are not Jewish, and your concern is not about the patient you're visiting, but your concern is about the other patients in the building. So what do we say? Is a non-Jew, we said, it's certainly you're not allowed to touch the body or carry the body. Masa and Maga, a Kohen cannot do. But what about Tumas Ohel for a non-Jew? This is a big debate. The Gemara itself seems to really actually imply that for a non-Jew, it's not mitame, right? The Gemara really, really implies it. But it says, kivri akum eina mitame ohel. That's what the Gemara says. But and the Rambam says that very clearly, but there are some Rishonim that say otherwise. The Shulchan Aruch says as follows. This is the way the Shulchan Aruch writes it. Kivri ovde kochavim. The graves of non-Jews. Nachal nizahar akoin milelech alehem. A Kohen should not walk on top of them. V'afal pi sheyesh mekilim. And now this is the Rama adds. Even though there are some who are lenient about when it comes to non-Jew space and say that it's not mitame, such as the Rambam. V'nachal nahachmir. It's good to be strict. Aval kever shamumar. But if it's a Jew who is an apostate Jew, they're still a Jew in this purpose. Mitame kashel Yisrael. They're still like Yisrael. How do we paskin? What do we say? We just said here that we treat the space of a non-Jewish dead like they are, like the Jewish dead, but maybe it's not, but maybe we should be strict. Rav Moshe Feinstein says as follows. He quotes the Shitas HaYireim. The Yireim said, one of the Rishonim, he says, Shelchen kivan she'ein akum mitame be'ohel, ash mitame be'mag v'masa. A non-Jew is not mitame be'ohel, the roof. They are with magamasa touching them. Ein kohanim muzharim aleim. Kohanim were not strict about that, and that's also the Eshkol and the Rambam, many Rishonim. He says shita zuder yireim. Now this is Rav Moshe Feinstein says the yireim's opinion. Mistaber shayach shayach letzarif lahater im haya otsnif. We can include this if there's other reasons to be lenient. It's one reason, meaning we don't rely on it completely. But if there's other reasons to be lenient and there's other values at play, we can assume that a non-Jewish body in the hospital corpse does not make the Kohen Tame. It's not Matame Ba'ohel. Mishum Degam Yesh Rabim HaSovim Ke Yireim. And because many Rishonim held, their opinion was that of the Yireim. And he quotes them, and he says, this all seems to be the opinion of the Beis Yosef. But he says, Mitzad Ikra Dedina. The main rule is, B'Misei Akum, when it comes to non-Jewish corpses, La'inyan Ohel, when it comes to the roof, being under the same roof, Kivan Shah Rambam Rav Rishonim Savri Sha'inim and Tami Bo, since the Rambam and most Rishonim did not think that causes Tuma, Vigam Ha Mechaber Mashmash Pasak Kane, it seems to be from the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch that we just read, that it's the same. Pasak Kane Ladina, Shekasav Rakshan Nachal Nizar, that's just good to be strict. Hakom Yilelech Alehem Velo Kasav Sha'asr, doesn't say it's forbidden. Vichain Hu Lashon Harama, so therefore he says, you can certainly rely on this. Lahatir Lo Mitzad Tumas Ohel Sha'ain Mitami. We can certainly rely on the fact that a non-Jewish corpse does not make a Jewish Kohen Tame, and therefore if the only concern is that there's a non-Jewish corpse somewhere in the hospital, technically the Kohen could come in if they have a good reason to do so. What might be that good reason? Well, what about our main concern here? Our main discussion. Now this gets really to the core of our discussion, and then I'll start summarizing and concluding. What about Bikur Cholim? Could you allow a Kohen to go into a hospital for the sake of Bikur Cholim, for the mitzvah of visiting the sick? Now, we're not talking about it's their profession, it's for the sake of visiting the sick. So Reb Moshe Feinstein writes, now Reb Moshe Feinstein is referring to outside of Israel. So he says, he writes here, this is in Igros Moshe Yeridea Chelik Beisim and Kuf Samech Vav. And he writes here, look, he writes in the word, he says, Levake Chola Be Hospital. So that's how he writes it there. And then in parentheses, Bebeit Cholim. If you were curious how to say hospital in American Hebrew, hospital. Yeah, so he says, Ki levaj medina senu hu rov nachrim b'midam ruba. In America, right, where he was writing, he says that most people are not Jewish, right? We can assume most people are not Jewish. So he says, Lechein medina yesh the meza basaruba. You can go after the majority. So a kohen who wants to visit a hospital, and they just, their friend who they're visiting is alive, obviously. They just want to know is if they have to be concerned about another body somewhere in the hospital. But Reb Moshe is saying, in America, you can assume, since most people are not Jewish, so most of the dead are not Jewish. So he says, Mezal bas aruba sheheim shel nachrim. It's likely not Jewish. And nifsak mi'ikro adin sheheim etam be'oha. That we can assume that they do not cause the whole hospital to become tamei. Lechein l'torach gadol. Therefore, if it's for a big need, it has to be a big need, yesh l'hatya l'koin l'vakya chola krovo. Then the kohen could go to visit like their family member, because that's a big need. Could go to mipnei tzaro hagadol, like because they're in a lot of pain, they're very concerned, they're very worried. Kishachola hu aviv or beno, especially if it's their parent or their child. Umishum shalom hamishpacha kishem krove ishto, or even if their family. If they're family friends, or especially if it's his wife, shu inyan shalom bayis gedomet. So all these are enough reasons that the kohen could visit the hospital, even though they're concerned there might be dead bodies, because they're probably not Jewish bodies. But what they should do is yivara masha efshar lo. They should check out. They should call the chaplain, right? And I'm sure we all get these calls a lot, right? You call the chaplain and find out. Im yesh sham ata meis Yisrael. Is there right now at this moment a non-Jewish body in the hospital that I should be aware of? And that way, and if so, I won't go, right? If so, I can't go to it. V'im yesh levar. But if they cannot check, yesh lismoch sheleka sham meis Yisrael, then they can assume that there's not a Jewish dead body. Da'af beis cholim gadol tuva. Even if it's a very big hospital, kahad de Bellevue. That's how you say Bellevue here, right? The Bellevue Hospital. Asher sham ika kimat tamid meisi mitzad ribu echolim shenimsaim sham. Even this huge hospital, so there's always going to be some dead bodies. You know, I know in our hospital we have about 5 deaths a day. So, and then usually in the room for a couple of hours, and then they're in the morgue. So there's always going to be there. Bikomakom cholim yisraelim heim miut. But it's a minority that are Jewish. V'yesh lismoch sheyefshar levar. We can assume when you cannot clarify shechole yisrael heim meharov cholim lechayim. You can assume that most patients survive. Those who are dead are likely not Jewish. They're the vast majority, and therefore someone can visit a hospital in America. What about in Israel? And then we'll conclude. And I might just want to say some quick last summarizing points. But I wanted to share this tshuva of Rav Vozner, because especially since so many of us are chaplains here, it's so relevant and so interesting. And remember, it's really complicated. Reb Moshe allowed it here, but not only does the hospital have corpses, the hospital has pathology labs and ghosts of seeing people who are dying, and oftentimes, you know, doors are wide open, so it could be a big problem. That's why the kohen really has to seek, you know, to be careful to make sure what's going on there. But the Shevet HaLevi has a fascinating tshuva, maybe, I don't want to say, troubling's not the word, but interesting, especially for chaplains. Shevet HaLevi was Rav Vozner. He died, I don't know, 10 years ago, B'nai Brak. Here's what he says about in Israel, because remember, in Israel, you do not have Rav Moshe's leniency, since the majority are Jewish. So he says, Rav Vozner is strict. And he says, Ganim naniach, this is in Shevet HaLevi, hey, Kuf pei dalad. In the niach dal halacha keagon bal mechtam la David, even the sof tum latseis besharp sachim rak midirabanan. Now, not only did we say with non-Jews it might not apply, but also there's the issue of sof tum latseis, of the concern about the tuma, the impurity, spreading to where the body is going to go later. Even though we can say that concern, we can conclude that that's most likely a rabbinic prohibition, not a Torah prohibition. And therefore, to do a mitzvah, like visiting the sick, you could go in a place where there's sof tumah latzeis, because there's not currently a body there, if you have a reason to, and to do the mitzvah bikrachon, you could. Bikol makom, kivud mevor be yeredeshin lamed hey, in the laws of visiting the sick, he says that the mevaker es achol level lo bikish lo rachamim lo kiyam mitzvah zu. If you do not pray for the sick when you visit them, you do not fulfill the mitzvah. So now listen to what he does with this. To fulfill the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, you have to pray with the sick. So then he says there, therefore, if that's true, Eich natir chas hasham kazos bezman hazeh, how can I allow Kohanim to go to the hospital nowadays? Derov rubam shal bikurim bebate cholim mitzad zeh shal halacha heim bikurim stam. People do not fulfill the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim because they're not praying with the patients. They're just going and chatting. And that's not the mitzvah, Rav Vozner argues. Mikoshke Masha Krovim Mevakim Hayoldos. Like, for example, when they visit the new mothers, Achrei Leidasim, Mevalim Shamazman, they just waste time there. She'ein Behem Sarach Mitzvah Klal. This is not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah unless you do the mitzvah properly, which is praying for the sick and helping their needs specifically. Vegamim Naniach She'masha Mevarchim Esachola. And if you were going to say that just by saying, like, hey, I'm giving you a bracha, Refuah Shlema, Shehu bechlal bekashas lav rachmin, and that fulfills the mitzvah, like as you're leaving the room, like you spend the whole time talking about Netflix or something, and then as you're leaving, you just say, oh, I hope you get better soon. Does that fulfill the mitzvah? He says, no. Mikol makom adayin enu matzil ze mi mikarim rabim mi od sheheim rachokim mi ikra mahus shel mitzvah speaker chun. That does not save the fact that in the majority of cases, he assumes, Rav Vozner, that people do not actually fulfill the mitzvah when they visit the sick because they're just chatting and just hanging out. Ibra Hanilan Hanal Bemakum Tzorach Gadol Beemes Sheakaro V'Kotzeb Zed Tzarech L'Shamesh Esachol Beemes. But what if it's a case of it was a really big need? Like that person needs their family member, their friend who's a Kohen, to really help them. There's a really big need. He says, V'Lifamim Harbe Efshar Bilado, and there's no one else who could do it? Okay, fine. Then he says, V'Ein Rach Hashash Al Softum Letzei Safilu Al Pianal, and there's no concern about Softum Letzei. They've clarified, B'Ze Yesh Akopanim Limutzchus. Then maybe you could give them like, you could justify it. Mikoshkein da tuma lo huchzaka. And we don't say that tuma is huchzak, that there's a huchzak, there's another chazaka, because this is a whole other issue which we're not going to go into now, but Rishus HaRabim is with the chazaka that there's not tuma, v'yesh rak safek, sof tuma tzeis, v'ulai rak safek, derabanan al piya niskar, v'atzasi emuna, ko pam shesholimosi. So whenever people ask me what they should do, if they should go to the hospital, im leikanes letzorach bikur cholim, shamamish leishiv das cholim, someone says, I want to really visit the sick and really help them. What do I say? Rav Vozner says, kivach hu rak suffix. Since it is just a suffix, since we're not really sure about this tuma likanes, let's say smiyad shiisha sham zman muat biyosa. Say, go very short, very briefly. V'yeshokopanim od sad shelo nischadesh tuma b'sha muatas. Probably not someone's going to die just in that short time. To lo chayshinan lemisa b'zman muat. We don't assume someone's going to die in that short time. Amnam ze rak sniff. This is just a part of a leniency to beis cholim, shkichei cholim, because there's so many people in hospitals that are sick, sheyesh b'hem sakana, that are dangerously ill, vein doma zman muat ba'alma. So, fascinatingly, Rav Vozner says he's concerned, because he doesn't think that we visit the sick properly. So he concludes, hayotzei mikol hanal lefi masha ra'inu v'shemanu hamatzav beis cholim hanal, since I have heard that people don't visit the sick properly, kafi shehu gam kein b'shar batei cholim, deva dekoin asur li tamos atzmo besof tum latzeis. Even sof tum latzeis, it shouldn't go. Unless you're really there to do a mitzvah, but ofen aniskar, as he explained, v'gam kein rak im yesh rak chashash sof tum latzeis b'shar pesachim. Only if there's a concern, but they've clarified before that there's not currently any dead bodies. Lo mashichas tumas ohel mamish, but there can't be a certain tumas ohel that they're actually under the same roof as the dead body. That he will not allow it. Now, interestingly, Tzvika Reisman here in Los Angeles wrote a great sefer called Ratz Ketzvi on Inyanei Kahuna, and he published this tshuva in there. And then he asked, his problem was, he said to him, first of all, there are people that do the mitzvah right. I mean, hopefully chaplains, you know, we visit the sick properly, right? We really talk about meaningful issues of life and death and spirituality, and we pray with the patient and we fulfill the mitzvah. And there are those opinions that you fulfill the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim just by showing up. There's a number of opinions that just showing up fulfills the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. So what about that? What does Rav Vozner say about that? So he responded, Rav Vozner responded to Tzvika, and he said, you know what? Fine. It's case by case. If you could say that this patient is truly comforted, just that someone showed up and didn't do anything for them, then you know what? Maybe that's enough. He's skeptical about it. But so obviously outside of Israel, we can be more lenient. But Rav Vozer inside Israel, he was very, very strict. But he really, one of the things he says is like, it depends on the hospital and the situation. So what would they have to do? Now let me conclude. And then I'm going to make some final closing sources that I'm going to show you. But, So it could be that just showing up is enough. Rav Vozer is skeptical about it, but there could be other opinions on that. It's a lot to talk about. What would it take to actually make a hospital kosher for a kohen? Totally kosher. And that would satisfy Rav Vozer and others. And what is done in some Israelis and hospitals? Some hospitals in Israel. So here's the list I created as I was preparing and going through these sources. Here's the list that what it would take. Number one, it would take a warning system when someone dies. They call that Azhara LeKohanim, right? And that they have in many hospitals in Israel. I've seen this at Shari Tzedek and at Hadassah and at Mayanei Yeshua and Laniato. Many hospitals have this where as soon as someone dies, there is a button that's pushed, and at all the entrances, a light goes off, a red light, and it says Azharat Kohanim. And it says, you know, or Kanisa Asur LeKohanim, something like that, that a Kohen cannot enter. So that a Kohen, when they're entering the building, on the outside, it either has a green light, and it says that's Mutar, it's Mutar for Kohen to enter, or Azhara, that it can't enter. So that's one thing they have to do. So that's the way a Kohen knows. Otherwise, they have to call someone, and that person has to be aware. This doesn't help when you're already inside the hospital. It also doesn't help with issues of the pathology lab. But it's step number one. Then what I saw this personally at I was visiting Mayanei HaYeshua in Bnei Brak when they push the button that puts the light on, the red light on outside the hospital, it also closes all the doors immediately. You know how like in most places if there's a code red, a fire alarm, all the doors close, right? Like but near right? So this they have this. It's not a fire alarm. It's a corpse alarm. Right? And all the doors close immediately. The truth is, they try to keep their doors closed at all times anyways, but all doors close. That way, you the ohel hames, the space where the dead body is confined to whatever closed off by the doors. So the doors close, and also they have double doors, because people are still going to be walking around. So when someone opens one door, right, they want to make sure that every unit is protected by two doors so that when it's not the double doors isn't the issue. It's like double covering for kashrut. That's not the issue. It's not two doors that you need double protection. It's that you can assume that when one door opens, the other door is closed. Or like in our hospital, we have from the ICU is one building, the main hospital is another building. There's a bridge connecting the two. By the time it takes you to cross the bridge, the door from the ICU has now closed, and now you open the next door so that the tumor cannot spread. There's the double doors is to prevent, to make sure one's always closed. So that's another thing a hospital has to have. Double door system, which remain closed right after being opened, like on a spring, so that when one opens one door, the other door is closed, or revolving doors. I saw this at Hadassah at their entrance. They made revolving doors such that the way it works is when you step into the door, it's still closed on the other side, and the doorway is never completely opened to the outside, and so you can prevent the spread of tumah that way. Another, number three, all vents are closed with small holes that are less than a tefach, and also those closures cannot be made out of metal. That's a very complicated one. The various hallways and operating rooms are closed off to other areas of the hospital, right? They're not direct spread, especially from pathology labs. Once there's a death, it is removed or brought to a morgue in a separate building right away. That's really two things there, that it's brought also to a separate building, right? That the morgue now, because otherwise the morgue can be a big problem. You know, the doors are open. I saw this, for example, at all the hospitals in Israel. They had put the morgue outside in a different building. Actually, at Mayanei Yeshua, the way I saw it was they also put the corpse is not brought in the hallway to the morgue. There's a separate whole little hall, like private little kind of transportation area in between the hallways, in between the rooms, that the bodies are sent in there, so that the hallways are never a Suf Tumlet Seis problem. And then the really strict hospitals add another layer of stringency, which is a really big stringency, but that one is that there's special containers for body parts and special covers for bodies that make it create its own ohel, its own surrounding for the body, that while they're waiting to be removed, that this prevents the entire space from being an ohel, because they're now under their own ohel. It doesn't prevent Sof Tumla Tseis, but that's Derabanan. It prevents the higher level concerns, as well as special fully enclosed transportable containers that are made of material that's not Kabal Tumah, and those are used to transport the body so that the body's in its own Ohel and that every other space is not prohibited under a Torah prohibition. Now, the more being on a different floor, like the basement, does definitely help. That's definitely good. Because then, you know, you only have to worry about things on that floor. But when you open the door to the morgue, or if there's vents and things like that, it could be a problem for other parts of the hospital. Or, like in our hospital, the morgue is in the basement. But in the basement, there's also pharmacies and labs and kitchens. There's other things down there, and it's a problem for the people who work there. So the morgue being in the basement doesn't solve all problems. Also, you have to make sure that the exit from the morgue to the outside, there's not an overhang that then, because when the tumah comes out that door, that's Sof Tumla Tseis, it's going to come out that door, go up, hit an overhang, and then go all around the whole building. And what I was saying before is, when you put the bodies in these special containers, it doesn't prevent Sof Tumla Tseis because you're still going to be taking the body somewhere else. So there's still Sof Tumla Tseis of wherever it's going to be going, but it has its own ohel. So it's still separate. Now, just one concluding remark, and I'll open up again, but just because we're just about out of time. But I mentioned that in Israel, Rav Volzner was very, very strict, and there are so many stringencies. Rav Asher Weiss has a piece in his Sefer Minchas Asher where he gives some leniencies. And I just want to show you what those leniencies are, just to conclude, because they're very interesting. And you're right, Rabbi Finkelstein, it's not really Tumah, and it really minimizes Sof Tumla Tseis, and it could be that it's not a problem, but the poskim still say that we should be concerned about it, even with those, because we're not sure that those encompassings, those containers, really, really prevent the Tumah properly. And so we do it. All these things are added stringencies that help a little bit, but they're all not complete. So there's a couple of issues. I'm just going to mention them very briefly, just because we're out of time. Rav Asher Weiss mentions, this is the Rambam in Hilchos Nazirus, it's also in Hilchos Avel. The Ravid on the Rambam brings up the point of Kohanim Bezman Hazeh Tamei Meis Hein. There is an issue of Tuma Achar Tuma, right? Once something is already, someone has already become Tamei, Is there really a prohibition against them becoming Tameh again? So the Ravid is of the opinion that once a Kohen has already become Tameh, they're not prohibited from becoming impure again. So mostly everyone is already Tameh, right? Especially probably because from when they're born in the hospital. So that could be a leniency, meaning we assume a Kohen is still obligated to try not to become Tameh again, but we could rely on the fact that maybe if they're already Tameh, that's one area. Then there's a Shach. The Shach is a little bit controversial because some poskim disagree, but Rav Asher Weiss says you can rely on it in a case of need. He says as follows. He says, the issue of the Ohel HaMeis, Dafkim hu be'Ohel HaMeis, near Dafka Nakat be'Ohel HaMeis, Aval'im bevatim hasmuchim lebeis HaMeis besocho. But what about, he's really talking about other rooms. The body's in one room. And we assume, let's say the door is open, right? But there's one Ohel. And then the tumah is spreading to other parts of the building. But the other parts of the building are not in the same room as the body. So he says, those rooms, bebatim asmuchim lebeis shameis besocho, afa pishen gamkein mitameim kedael, mikol makom yeshlomer de'eno ela tuma derabanan. That is tuma derabanan. And we can override a tuma derabanan for the sake of a mitzvah, for a need. So as long as the coin is not in the same room as the mace, it's all that other tuma might be a derabanan. And also, nami leka bebatim asmuchim tuma ela mi derabanan mishum de sof tum letzeis is derabanan. So since sof tum letzeis is derabanan, and usually the concern of the Kohen is that they're not visiting the corpse, they're visiting their friend, they just want to avoid being in the hallway, but the hallway is only a sof tum letzeis issue, and therefore that's also derabanan. And so that could be another area of leniency. That's what Rav Asher Weiss argues. Now, we have to be careful because the very, very big hospitals, it could be coming up a lot. But still, we have this. Rav Asher Weiss's argument is that if we put together the Shach and the Ravid, then most of the time, the dead body is in a room where the door is closed, especially, let's say, pathology. And the tumah only gets out for a moment when the door is opened. But Sof Tumla Tseis is derabanan. So if this is a Sveika derabanan, not a deraisa, there's much more room for leniencies. And that's the idea. And also he quotes the Pnei Yeshua, who says that the Shach is correct, even though the Magen Avraham disagrees with that Shach. And that's just what I have what I'm showing you here. And then there's one other leniency that the Magen Avraham adds, which is she'ein machzikim osam kokohen. There's this whole issue that Rav Asher Weiss does not mention this issue. He doesn't agree with this issue, but some poskim do, so I'm just showing it to you, which is that some poskim mention the leniency that today the kohanim are not kohane chazaka. We don't know for sure that they are a kohen, and therefore we can be lenient in general. But that is a very, you know, far out leniency that we don't really usually rely on. So we usually just stick with, the fact that once we say that the tumah is derabanan, we have the concept of suffik tumah rishus harabim. The suffix is tahor. Once the tumah is in a public domain, a hospital is considered a public domain, unlike, you know, the Shabbos. And therefore, Rav Asher Weiss argued that even tumas kohanim, it's a suffix tahor. But the bigger problem is the major hospitals where it's not really a suffix because there's so many dead bodies, especially if one has to be there for many, many days. But still, we have these things to rely on. And the truth is, the amount of people who die every day in a particular hospital, and the rate of miscarriages, the percentage of Jews in the hospital, the size of the hospital, the layout of the hospital, in regards to the pathology unit, and all these issues where the dead bodies are going to be taken, and so on, all these are issues that have to be dealt with, right? It's only after weighing all these factors that one can determine if it's likely that there's a concern of tumas meis or not, right? So regarding this issue, and just I'll conclude with this, just because it's important, as I mentioned, these leniencies, even though the Magen Avraham mentions this issue that Rav Asher Weiss did not agree with, that you can assume that Kohanim today are not really, we're not sure that they're Kohanim. Rav Sternbach says as follows. He quotes this and he says, you know what? We cannot be so lenient. We have a mitzvah to protect Kohanim. He says, Mi'achar shenemar v'shmartem es kohunaschem. Guard your kahuna. Haloba mokum chatarich shmira, lomo a rove or suffic tumah. We don't, Bershus Arabi, we don't rely on so many leniencies. We have to protect the tumah. Linas daiti, la anias daiti nira bezeh odatam. Sheba kahuna nemar kadoshim you. This is what you should be holy. V'chayavim lishmoras kunaschem. You have to guard your kahuna. We care about this. This is something we have to take seriously. V'afshu kohanim bezmanazeh einam ela kohanim chazaka, even though it's only presumed kohanim. I don't agree with that. When it comes to an Isser, the Afshe Kohen Bezmanazeh Eino Neman Al Piv Mikomakom Nesar Bechol Isser Kohen. We still are makpid on the Isser Kohuna, and therefore we have to treat them as if they are Kohan. They are Kohanim, and we have the Kohanim have a mitzvah to guard their purity, and therefore we cannot be lenient. So I've just mentioned these extra leniencies to say, if you have a case where someone's stuck, they really need to visit the sick, they really need to do something, there's a lot that we can rely on in cases of great need, but it takes a lot to really protect a kohen from the tumah, and this is just kind of a summary and overview of the issues. I know we're way over time, but I'm happy to see if there are any questions.
I'm about whatever they want to talk about.
Right. I like that. You said the article is called The Ministry of Small Talk?
Ministry of Small Talk,
interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. That's why I wanted to read that Tshuva of Rav Ozner, because I think he has a very unique, interesting perspective that he's so strict that, like, Bikur Cholim only counts as a mitzvah if you only fulfill certain aspects of the mitzvah. And we all know that, like, just showing up and being there and providing support and someone to talk to has a massive impact. I think the reason why he was going there, though, Rav Ozner, is because it was a very technical, specific halachic issue, meaning you have to show that it's a mitzvah to override these concerns about tumas kohanim. So he's saying, like, can I, where's the mitzvah aspect? So he's saying, technically fulfilling the mitzvah, there is, the Shulchan Aruch does describe what do you have to do to fulfill the actual mitzvah. So he's saying, okay, maybe it's great. I'm not saying you shouldn't visit the sick and spend time with them. Like, that's great. But what makes it into a mitzvah such that it overrides other concerns? Then you have some technical specifics that you have to get to in order to get to that threshold. So it's an interesting conversation, a really interesting issue, because you're right. And that's why I didn't want to say I was, you know, that's why I had some concerns about his tshuva, just sort of like, you know, there is value to visiting people in the hospital, even if you don't pray for them or do other things. There's still tremendous value, and I think I'll know that very well. So I appreciate that.
And there's a huge drawback to it, that the person becomes a lulav.
Uh-huh, right. You turn them into your mitzvah, yes. Yeah, I hear that. A lot of this is, though, he's trying to argue, like, how do I, as the posek, Rav Ozner, answer the questions, so I'm having to balance these different mitzvah categories. But I hear you, this is an excellent point.
Emotionally, spiritually.
Uh-huh. Right, that's an excellent point. Each person is different. It depends on what their needs are. That's an excellent point. Thank you for bringing up that issue of, like, people do want meaningful conversations and impactful experiences. I mean, we often talk about how showing up is enough, but sometimes more is important.
Make them feel better. Uh-huh. But it's how good are you at reading that, and uh-huh. how comfortable are you with going further into other topics in case that's needed, or right. an actual prayer.
Right, right. Yes. Yes, very good. I agree.
Give birth to the wives give birth.
Yes.
And they want to be in the hospital.
Yeah.
So I usually tell them it's a different ward in general. It's a
yeah.
different building.
Right.
That's something we have to take in consideration.
Yeah, childbirth is a big issue. The poskim say the reason why we allow a kohen to be with his wife while she's delivering is because of the sfeik sveika. The suffix of tuma balua, maybe there's not an issue when the fetus is not born yet. It can be in the hospital. And we don't know of the... we don't know the gender, and also there's this, you know, suffix nafel, nafel, and so that's how we allow. But some of those are difficult leniencies today. But anyways, for the husband, if she needs her husband there, right? So that, you know, I've seen some posting that, right, like, no, you know, like, there's no excuse. But many argue that, like, if she needs her husband, and like, that's important to be there providing support. You know, maybe he shouldn't stay there the entire, like, he shouldn't stay for 3 days straight and never leave, but like, and he should obviously be careful keeping the doors closed, things like that. But yeah, if she needs her husband, and you're right, that floor.
I'd be curious what happens in Eretz Yisrael, in Israel, with the maternity.
And a lot of the poskim say that they shouldn't stay. But, and you're right that usually that floor does not have corpses on it. But, yeah. And just to conclude, I see that there's a question about once the corpse passes through a space or is removed, how much time is required before the space can be entered by Kohen? And it's immediate. Once the Kohen is left and they're gone, I mean, once the corpse is left and they're gone from there, it's immediately Tahor again. So, you know, that can be helpful. You sometimes don't know, so that people sometimes wait out of doubt. But once the body's not there, it's fine. It's Tahor. And as you mentioned, you know, of course, it's essential to point out that if it would be pikuach nefesh, if it's for life saving, then of course there's no shaila at all. That of course a kohen should be wherever they need to be to save, if there was to save a life. And really, the poskim all allow for a cholish yesh bo sakana, or helping a cholish yesh bo sakana, which includes a yoledes, includes someone giving birth. And if it's not the sakana for a kohen, so that's when Rav Sternbach says no. But others allow it in Chutz La'aretz, you know, if the care is better, or in Israel, if the hospital is designated to prevent tuma spread, you know, so it all depends on the place. I know Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach also, like, they say he would allow something certain in Shaar Tzedek, but not in Hadassah, because it was more created to protect Kohanim, prevent the spread. And also, you know, I see regarding the question about what constitutes a makom mitzvah, that was, you know, the Yerushalmi is mekel for tumas mace in a makom mitzvah for a kohen. And the examples the Yerushalmi gives are for Talmud Torah and Kibud Av Ve'Em, honoring parents and learning Torah. So this is a different conversation than what we've been having. And that implies, though, that it must not be an Isur De'oraisa, because that would not be enough for leniency. So clearly, it's the tumas kohenim for a mace in this case is Derabanan, and hopefully if some doors close between the person and the mace, and so if the Kohen wants to visit a hospital and it's a makom mitzvah, then as long as we don't know certainly that there's a mace there, the Kohen can enter. This is Rav Asher Weiss's argument, because safek tuma derabanan a makom mitzvah, or for the sake of parnasa, as long as one tries not to be in the same room as the mace. These are a number of the arguments that are put forward to help be another, it's just sniff lahakel, just an additional leniencies that can kind of help in the process.